T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
Well, this is alarming. I don't want anybody to panic. But if you're like me and you wanted to be the last in to Greenville and then shut the door,
yeah.
the word is getting out. And I got to say, personally, that is a darn shame.
I hear you.
It's most unfortunate. And you know, I've told you this before. I can remember in Charlotte, we began to make these lists. Greenville just won 10th best place to live in the U.S., according to Livability.
Yeah.
It's a big deal because they looked at more than 1,000 cities with populations between 20,000 and a million. And they ranked them on 40 data points, measuring economics, housing, amenities, infrastructure, demographics, social, civil, capital, education, healthcare, all of that kind of stuff. And we came out number 10, beating out Charlotte, which was at 21, Asheville, which was at 14, Raleigh-Durham at, well, I should say Durham at 23, and Greensboro at 51. So, I mean, Charlotte started winning all of these, and that was, everybody was really excited because Charlotte was a great place then. Now it is just a nightmare to live in Charlotte. I mean, we were there, actually had to go to the doctor with my husband last week and had to go into Charlotte. Oh, God.
Well, it's too crowded. Nobody goes there anymore.
Don't do that.
The old
friend. Yeah, but no, it's a nightmare. We got caught in rush hour traffic. We left at 4.
Yeah.
It took us an hour and a half to get out of Mecklenburg County,
yeah,
where Charlotte is. Somebody had an accident during rush hour, so it's not always that bad. But, I mean, one accident during rush hour, not even a bad one, that's what you're talking about. I mean, it's a nightmare. It's unaffordable. It's awful. I mean, by the time we left, my nerves were so racked, Lee, I had to have 2 glasses of wine when I got home. You know what I mean? I never make it through 1.5 without passing out.
Yeah, it's just like this past weekend, a good friend of mine from high school was down from Maryland, and he'd come through that area. And I think part of the problem was fog in Virginia, but when he got down to around the Charlotte area, he was expected to get in about 3:30, got in about 8:30.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's a nightmare there. I'm hoping it'll be better here. And I point this out to my husband all the time, and he nods his head, because Charlotte went through a crazy phase where they just they were liberal, and the city council was liberal, and they just decided.
And they still are, by the way.
Yeah, they are terribly liberal, and they just decided, you know what, you shouldn't live in the suburbs, and you're a jerk if you do. And just because you think you need a bigger house because you have 3 kids and can't cram them into an 800 square foot apartment near downtown, then you know something wrong with you.
Yeah.
And we're not going to build any more roads.
Yeah.
In fact, they took measures to constrain the roads they have and remove lanes. The idea was we're going to force everybody on light rail.
Right, right.
Well, the ridership numbers are still way, way off. They couldn't force anybody on light rail, and they made Charlotte into an absolute nightmare. So Greenville is doing at this point what Charlotte refused to, which is at least we're seeing all of the interstates widened. The state would have widened the interstates around Charlotte, but they turned them down. Didn't want them to do it. So, and forfeited all that money, which, I mean, I never have I screamed or gnashed my teeth harder. Like, this is going to be a disaster. And then I'm, like, literally sitting in it last week. It was a disaster. But the whole point being, I mean, Charlotte just got so flooded after that, that the quality of life is just not good. I mean,
it's still being flooded there. Because, I mean, you go up there now, and there's construction everywhere. It's like, just like here.
You can't afford anything.
Yeah.
We were talking to a realtor friend of ours yesterday, my husband and I, Shane. Up in Charlotte, and he was just talking about just the home prices. He flips homes, and he was just talking about, like, they're going up so quickly that you don't even have to find a gem. I mean, you can just find a home and flip it, and you'll make money. That's how fast the prices are still going up. It's unaffordable. You literally, the school system is unattendable. You have to live outside the county and drive back in. It's a nightmare. Don't go there. But this is how it started in Charlotte, just like it is right now with Greenville beginning to make some of these lists. And people just start flooding in, and there you go, you know?
Well, my wife and I were planning on going to visit my daughter and son-in-law this weekend, so maybe we just won't go now.
I'd pick an arrival time around 6 a.m. Yeah. 5 would be better.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Other than that, forget it. You're going to be tearing your hair out. You know how it is.
I know.
So, I mean, we actually have parts of Greenville here, 385 you know, comparable to Charlotte, where they refuse to widen it. We have like the loop around, you know, Greenville, Maine now.
Yeah.
Has got, or will have when they're done, more lanes on the I-85 approach to it than around Charlotte, if you can believe that, because they just stubbornly refuse to widen the roads.
Yeah.
And they thought that would force people to live in Charlotte in tiny condos, but all they did was move further and further out. So anyway, nightmare. I think we're already handling the growth better than Charlotte, but it's still going to crush us. Well, I've just seen it.
We're a long way from being as big as Charlotte.
But I'm just, telling you, we keep growing at this rate.
Yeah.
You know, 7,000 additional cars every day on Woodruff, like clockwork, every 4 years. That's just crushing. And, you know, I love Greenville, but I just don't want anybody else to know about it. Is that wrong?
No, it's selfish, but it's not wrong.
People have no idea how good they have it here.
Yeah.
I don't mean to lecture you or anything, but like in Charlotte, my husband and I were, you know, we had our daughter, and we were beginning to have to make the decision every couple makes, which of the surrounding counties are we going to move to because of schools. The schools are just so bad. They have so many problems, and you'd have to drive back in. I mean, you can live here in a suburb in Greenville, minutes from downtown, you know, well, 15 minutes from downtown, and send your kid to any number of great schools with affordable housing. I mean, in Charlotte, your choice was, well, you got to buy at least $500,000 home so you can go to Providence High and your kid won't be killed. Or you can move out. I mean, literally killed. I mean, there was a kid shot there. What, in the last year it's been. And that's the best high school in Charlotte. It's utterly unattendable. It gang problems. So, I mean, like here you can choose from great schools. We have high schools that are producing amazing results in the last year. I mean, we're beating national averages now. People don't realize that in terms of test scores, which I watch closely. And you can live in an affordable middle class home. You know what I mean? Even starter home, 15 minutes from downtown, and attend a top notch school here. I mean, people don't realize how good they have it. Most cities, you just have to live in a high-end neighborhood to do that or live way out, and we don't. We're so fortunate in that way. We have a ton of affordable housing. It's affordable to live here. I mean, I could go on and on, and yet you have all the amenities of a big city, but yet it is so much more affordable than a big city. So I better shut up now because people listen to the podcast, exactly. You know, like from other places. Actually, you know what? I take it all back. Greenville sucks. It sucks. Don't even come here. Please. Oh. Oh, boy. And it's such a guy. We've got such a great feel to it here, too, culturally, I think.
Yep. Well, I still think that one of the best things about this whole upstate region is that you have several relatively large towns that make it up into one big metropolitan area.
Yes.
Because you have got the Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson area. You've got all of this still much rural area right outside of the larger metropolitan areas that are still affordable. And we've still got some, you know, other good places other than just the Greenville area that are underdeveloped so far.
Absolutely. And then, you know, you sent this to me the other day about South Carolina. South Carolina is the fifth best state to be poor.
Yeah, I see it.
From a tax perspective, your money, no, it does. It goes so much further.
Well, that's true, yeah.
And it really does. I mean, just coming over the state line from North Carolina, we couldn't believe what daycare cost when we moved here.
Yeah.
It was so much more affordable, and we got better quality daycare, and then we were like, wow, everything's so cheap here. We're never going to leave, and then we never did.
Yeah.
So, and that was back in Myrtle Beach, you know. Don't go there. They're crazy. but it's very affordable.
Yeah.
It's like Northern Exposure, but to the South.
Yes.
Remember that program, Northern
Exposure?
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but about 10 IQ points lower.
Oh, well.
You know what I'm saying?
Well.
Myrtle Beach, I mean, not South Carolina.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. We were glad to get out of there. That place ain't right. Anyway, it's good for vacation. Otherwise, forget it. Yeah. We're seeing all this demographic stuff. That's what makes South Carolina so great is the affordability. And Charlotte used to be that way. And it's not now. It's lost that component. So, but anyway, not sure if this is a good win for us, but here we go with people moving. Oh, speaking of people moving, I got to add some details to the story you may have heard about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's mom moving to Florida for the lower taxes. Yeah, that story's actually even better than the one you've been told. Wait till you hear why, coming up. Speaking of people moving here to Greenville, as the word gets out, which is most unfortunate if you want to know what I think. Yeah. What do people do? Well, they move. They move to escape high-tax states. And guess who does the moving? Yep, all the liberal people who voted for the high taxes, because of course they know better. They just didn't think they would apply to them. And never learning from their mistakes, they move. Did you hear about this? I mean, what? What a textbook example. Did you hear about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's mom? This genius proudly tells the world she raised her daughter to be a democratic socialist. She did an interview with the London Daily Mail. You probably heard about it. But there's a twist here you probably haven't heard. Tells the world, I raised her to be a democratic socialist because, I taught her to look out for the little guy. Apparently, the only way you can do that is as a democratic socialist. Never mind that under capitalism and Trump right now, the little guy's doing better than he ever has in many cases. Record unemployment rates for Black, Hispanic people. Record low Hispanic poverty rate. But anyway, I digress. So she tells the world, she proudly tells the world she's raised her daughter, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the effective head of the Democrat Party at this point, as declared yesterday on Fox News by Brett Hume, that she raised her daughter to be a democratic socialist. She then adds, with absolutely no sense of irony and zero self-awareness, that because she couldn't afford New York taxes, she moved to Florida. So I wanted to know, where in Florida did she move, pray tell? This proud mother of a Democrat socialist who she deliberately raised to think that way. Where did she choose to live in Florida? Because Florida has some blue counties under blue leadership, and they've got some real red counties. It's a real mixed place. So I looked it up. She lives in Lake County. Lake County. Huh. Which is governed by who? Pretty majority Republican. Overwhelmingly Republican, actually. Lake County. Wow, that's a red county there. Look at that. They voted for Trump 60% to 37%. You don't get much redder than that. You might as well move to South Carolina. She says she likes it there better than New York because she can afford her taxes now. Instead of $10,000 a year on her house, it's only $600. So, Nat, we know where Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez gets her duh from. Came straight from mama. Good God. I mean, and no sense of irony whatsoever. Oh, I raised her to be a Democrat socialist. Oh, but then what happened when you couldn't afford to live there anymore? Oh, I had to move. Where'd you move? One of the reddest counties in Florida. In fact, one of the reddest counties in the nation. I looked it up. Top 10% by Trump election results anyway. Yep, top 10%. 60% went for Trump. That puts it in the top 10%, and almost all of the elected leadership is Republican. No wonder her taxes are low. You mora. So they want to move there, and then they're going to fix it. Well, we can afford to live here, but these people are so backward, and they're doing it wrong. Okay. This is the same kind of thing I'm concerned will happen with Greenville. 800-347-1063, text line 71307. Got a ton of stuff going on today. You need to be aware of this. We're going to get into it in the next segment. Folks, and I don't mean to alarm you, but we truly have a national emergency on our border. We do. And there's no other way to put that. The Washington Post just published an article. The border rush may hit 100,000 migrants. They mean illegal aliens. 100,000 migrants in March. Let me let you think about that for a minute. In March. That's because they're projecting, based on the increase month over month after over month through the for the first five fiscal for the first 5 months of fiscal 2019, and the escalation of people on the border is just it's insane. The cross border migrant flow inflow may reach 100,000 people in March. The number of migrants taken into custody last year jumped 39% from February to March. And a similar increase this month would push levels to 100,000 detentions or more, says the Washington Post, March 4th. Now, why is this happening? Well, Trump failed. No. Trump actually succeeded. He ended catch and release. He by executive order, ended every single problem. Do you remember when Trump took office and the numbers went down to record lows on the border? Now at record highs. Why? I'll let the Washington Post explain it to you. Let me read this paragraph. U.S. court restrictions on the government's ability to keep children in immigration jails. And the sheer volume of people arriving have left Homeland Security agencies defaulting increasingly to the overflow model Trump deplores as catch and release. Let me translate that for you. Liberal judges nullified everything Trump has done on the border, ending catch and release, ending the right to an attorney provided by the taxpayers for you if you don't want to go home, but you're an illegal immigrant who broke into the country, doing all of that kind of stuff, administratively on the spot, sending people back or turning them away. All of that stuff, judges ended, said you couldn't do it. Then they put arbitrary limits on the detention center, saying, oh, look, well, fire safety says this, but we're going to put this limit. Got to let everybody else go. It's a bunch of games. And word is out. Word's out. And even the Washington Post admits, yeah, you know, Trump's doing great there, preventing the inflow, but then all the liberal judges overruled him. Too bad. Now, an inflow, this is Breitbart, an inflow of 100,000 per month brings migration up toward the levels encouraged by former President George W. Bush before his economic bubble and 2008 crash. Wait, what? Wait a minute. You mean the previous record high levels were under Bush, not Obama? Uh-huh. Well, Bush started this, the open border stuff. This was just a shock to so many people. Bush hit the 100,000 level. You remember how he did it? I was the only one screaming about this at the time. I was the Vince of WBT. I got so many complaints to my manager about how I trashed Bush on a day-to-day basis. But he was a bad man. I mean, he was a bad man for this country. He was a bad man for national security. I don't know how else to put it. When you look at the previous record, we have not been at 100,000 illegals rushing the border a month since Bush. And the way that Bush was able to do that, he pulled the Border Patrol in many high-traffic places about, from a mile to 2 miles off the border so they couldn't get the illegals. And then his administration said no more enforcement in state parks that abut the border, because the border vehicles were making tracks in the earth, and that might hurt endangered species. Well, we then had hundreds of thousands of illegals stampeding through those national parks and literally just destroying them underfoot, trashing them. And that wasn't a problem for the Bush administration, but the double tire tracks from the Border Patrol cars was. And of course, that was just cover for open borders. And so once Bush started open borders, that made it okay for the Democrats to do it. And Obama picked up from there. But Obama never did as well as Bush open borders wise in terms of flooding the country. This started with Bush. This is where we began. And when you're trying to understand why can't Washington see this as a national emergency? Well, most of the Republicans sitting in office today were recruited by the Bush machine inside or backed by the Bush machine inside the Republican Party over the last almost 20 years. So, I mean, they are bought and paid for by the people who, you know, Bush might as well have trademarked open borders. He did it first. He made it okay. And the Democrats have taken it as a right ever since to have the border open. And Trump has done everything he can to stop it. There's not much left. As our Homeland Security Secretary, folks, practically on her knees yesterday, begging Congress to stop this. They're literally overrun. And Congress is like, emergency? What emergency? Well, do you need something to look forward to? We all do. Yeah, well, apparently, this is good news. New study from Harvard looked at over 10,000 people, so it's a pretty big study. People are happiest when they're older. Life's got you down just a bit? Well, you'll feel better when you're older. Harvard researchers found people are able to perceive anger and fear less and less. In other words, stuff you used to sweat, it just doesn't faze you anymore. But happiness just as much as we age. In other words, you know, the stuff you used to worry about, you fear, just bad things happening. What if I lose my job? What if all that kind of stuff? That fades. You're just not as fazed by it anymore. But your ability to perceive happiness, participate in it, does not fade. That's why you get happier. Interesting, huh? Researchers aren't sure why this happened, but it could be due to declining cognition or even our vision getting worse. That's not good. But basically, life gets better as we age because we just get better at ignoring the static. You know, there's another way to put this. I should know for me personally. I don't know. I don't know about you. I'd love to hear from you on this. We just don't give a darn. You just don't give a darn anymore. No. After a couple of decades where everything you're really worried about doesn't happen, And the couple of bad things that do happen to you are the things you didn't worry about. You just throw your hands up in the air and go, okay, whatever. You go, okay, whatever. I give up. So at what age are people the happiest? What's it for you? Text me. 71307 is the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. You ready for this? 70. People are the happiest when they reach 70. They're least contented in middle age. See, I would not, you know, I would have wondered that at 70, because everyone I know who's 70, and God bless them, complains about aches and pains and slowing down and all that stuff. And you get to 70. Let me find a nice way to put this. What's the max you got left? I mean, like 25 years? And that's only for a tiny percentage. I mean, it's like, what, 10 years, 15 years, good years? See, I think that would stress me out. But it doesn't. People are like, no, I'm happy. Texture writes, you could get happier when you get older, question mark. How long does it take? 50 and counting. I don't know. You're middle-aged, so apparently that's when all the stress is. And you know, that makes sense, because you've more than likely got the biggest bills then. You've got adult kids in the house. Boy, they'll hoover the money right out of your bank account. You've got cars to pay for or help with. Insurance is costs are through the roof. You got kids maybe going to college or launching out into the world. You got to help them with that. It's stressful. I could see that. Plus, the little buggers are out of control. You can't just, pop them on the hiney and send them to their room. You know, you gotta actually negotiate with them. I could see how that'd be. I could see how that would be hard. Texter writes BS on that study on happiness. All right. Well, when's the age you're most happy? They say 70. 800-347-1063. All right. Got a ton of other stuff coming up on the show. I don't know what more we need on this border crisis. I don't know what more we need. I mean, we got even Lindsey Graham, right? The original open borders fool going, yeah, there's an emergency on our border. And the Democrats are like, what? I mean, do you realize what Mitch McConnell is doing to the president right now? The Senate is in Republican hands. Mitch McConnell is the Republican leader of the Senate. Nancy Pelosi's House passed a thing basically saying, rebuking Trump for declaring an emergency and saying he couldn't do it. Right? Now, Mitch McConnell doesn't have to take that up. You know how everybody's all week long been, wailing on Rand Paul. He's not going to vote for the emergency stuff. He's going to vote against the president. There's four Republicans going to do it. They don't have a veto-proof majority. So Trump will veto it, and he'll get the emergency declaration anyway. But this hurts him in court. This very clearly paints the picture that Trump is doing this because Congress won't go along. That's going to cost him in court. It's going to make it harder when he inevitably gets sued over this. So Mitch McConnell doesn't have to hold this vote today. He didn't have to hold it. He could ignore it. Just don't call a vote. He'd kill Nancy Pelosi's emergency legislation. Just bury it. He doesn't have to take up anything. I mean, what, they pass a bill grabbing guns and increasing background checks for everyone but illegal immigrants who they want to own guns? Apparently, because they stripped out provisions that would have stopped him. Mitch McConnell's not taking that gun bill up. He's already said he's not. So why is he taking this up? Embarrass the president. And this is what they do. Mitch McConnell doesn't have to come out and tar and feather the president. He can mortify him this way. And you can't blame that on the Democrats. Nancy Pelosi's just doing what she said she'd do. Not Mitch McConnell. Not Mitch McConnell. So this vote, which will be a humiliation for the president, for Republicans bucking him, Senate's going to end up, can you imagine Senate control, Republican-controlled Senate is going to end up backing Nancy Pelosi on this emergency declaration, which is to say, ixnay on it. That's a unified front between the uniparties, or between the uniparty, between the two parties that make up the uniparty, the Republicans and the Democrats. It's a slap across the president's face. It is. And it is an absolute outrage. And incredibly, Lindsey Graham was one of those who pointed it out. You're thinking, is he okay? Did he hit his head? Nah, he's just up for re-election. But listen, if he's going to be on our side temporarily, I'll take it. Useful idiots and all that. Anyway, our first epic rant of the day. You won't believe what Lindsey Graham had to say about the emergency declaration on the border. Coming up next. Texts are still commenting on this study that says you're happiest when you're old. Part of life that's the hardest is middle age. Happiest age, 70. So I got something to look forward to, maybe. Here we go. Okay, texter rates late 40s to mid 50s. I have kids in college, mortgage, car payments, stupidly high insurance premiums. I am waiting for 70 if I make it. LOL. Well, we're with you. Texter writes, hey, Tara, it came to me in a dream last night. Well, this is pretty deep. It came to me in a dream last night. We have one political party masquerading as two. Yeah, ding, 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 ding. You got it. That's exactly what we have. Texter writes, why do Republicans want open borders? They're paid to. Those illegals won't be voting for them. Is it because of the contributions from the chamber? Yes, it is. Absolutely because of the contributions from the chamber and their desire to lower wages. It's all about wages on the Republican side. And it's madness. It is. It's absolutely madness. Meanwhile, you know, both parties offer their own version of freedom or freedoms, if you will, rights that you have or that you can have from both parties. But they look very different. Like, for instance, rights you can get under conservative rule, speech, religion, gun, you know, right to own a gun. Rights you can get under the liberal rule. None of the above. But you can have an abortion up until birth paid for by somebody else. That's a right. The right to get high, even if it's illegal. The right to come to this country illegally and the right to never be offended. So it depends on what your vision of freedom is. We're seeing the left's vision of freedom in New York schools. Did you see this? I just shake my head. Okay, for the record, marijuana is legal across the country. That may change at some point when Congress changes it, but it's illegal right now. New York City has decided that it's okay if students bring pot to school. Wait, what? Yeah, I got my math book, got my study guide. Yep, pot, right, yep, there it is. New York Post writes, city students are getting a free pass when it comes to getting high. What did they just do? The Department of Education in New York City has softened policy on pot infractions among students that has led to a 192% plunge in weed-related NYPD arrests and summonses. So if you're a liberal, you say, awesome, we're reducing crime in schools. No, what you just did was say they could bring their pot. And they just wouldn't, you know, you just wouldn't arrest them. This is amazing to me. Greg Floyd, president of the union representing NYPD school safety officers, says that the new policy signals, are you ready for this? A de facto acceptance of marijuana in city schools. Yeah, just bring your pot to school. It'll be fine. You go in the bathroom, smoke it up a little bit. Yeah, you want to avoid secondhand smoke for other people. But yeah, you want to get a little high, that's no problem. Golly. He noted recent Post reports on Forest Hills High School, where staffers blame a lax principal for students' rapid cannabis consumption, both on and near campus during the school day. What do you do if you're a parent? No, what do you do? I mean, what if you're a good parent outside of school? You're monitoring who your kids' friends are. Don't want you to go to that person's house. You might do drugs. And now they're like, no, would you come to school and do drugs? Did you ever think you'd see this? Remember those commercials? This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. We have just legalized marijuana in New York City schools. In school. I'm not talking about medicinal or he's got a prescription. No. Just, you want to bring your pot? Just bring your pot. What's next? Bring your heroin too? What the Department of Education is going to do in New York City is issue warning cards when people get caught in possession of or smoking pot on campus. How do you learn if you're high? That would seem really hard to do to me. I don't. Maybe someone in the audience try to. Can you do calculus problems high? Can you learn anything? I wow. This is, you know what, this is so sad for parents who want to, you know, want to be good parents and want to control what their kids do as teenagers when they're not always the brightest. You send them to school and they could just go get some pot from their friends. What, are you going to pack it in their lunch so everyone can pass it around? Under the new policy, parents of students caught with pot are notified that their kids are getting a card and what the infraction was. Nothing remains on the teen's record, and there's no punishment if they rack up warnings. There's also no limit. Do you get 5, 10, 15, 20? Nothing happens. No suspension. No expulsion. Nothing. You just get a card. Instead, it is up to schools to deal with stoned students. And punishment can run from a stern talking to a letter home to your parents. And kids under 16 caught with weed won't even get the cards. They are dealt with at their school's discretion. Wait, does that mean if the kid is under 16, they don't tell the parents? It doesn't say here. As of February 10th, 183 marijuana warning cards have been issued this academic year. Come to school high. No, it'll just, please just come. We'll just, do you know what this is going to do for drug dealers in school? That's where you're going to want to be. Now think about this. You can take your pot into school and sell it there. Why would you quit school? Yeah, at least on the upside, you're going to have drug dealers won't quit school. They'll stay there till they're 21. They get booted out. Some days I think the left can't do anything anymore that will leave me speechless. And then. Okay, coming up, an epic rant from Lindsey Graham, of all people.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.